Hey, gang. Hey, gang. Welcome to National Bugle Radio. I wish I could sing along with that song, but I know it just doesn't work on Skype. Welcome to National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. You know, today I think we're going to have a great show, and I will be taking callers, and the callers help make it a great show. We have lots of good conversation. It really helps develop the narrative. That's what I'm trying to do on this show. And days like today really make me thankful to John Stadtmiller for giving me that call and offering me this time slot, letting me talk to the RBN audience. So I want to thank him, and I want to encourage everybody to go to RBN or to republicbroadcasting.org and click on the donate button and help keep this project going, because we are key. We are central to taking back our country. What I'm going to do today to start things off, to get the discussion going until I get some callers. Earlier today on other shows, which, by the way, are no longer on the Rents Network. They are kind of moved over. They're kind of independent now. But on the first couple of shows I was on, the Stormfront Radio with Don Black, I had a discussion with Father Francis, who is the host of the new Stormfront Action Show, and I hope to have him on this show in the coming days. And we had a discussion on, you know, power, seen and unseen, whether there's a central hidden government, or if that hidden power, or that power that's exercised outside government, the extra governmental power, whether that's organized or not. We had a discussion of that. It was pretty interesting. And then on David Duke's show, he brought up an article by Peter Boehnert, a very interesting article where Peter Boehnert, and you can go to davidduke.com and find out more about that. But Peter Boehnert had a recent article, a new article, where he said that the Jewish power establishment, or did he just say the Jewish establishment, was repressing free speech. It was repressing the speech of those who criticize Zionism. Very interesting. He actually had an interesting article from last August in the wake of Charlottesville, and I'm going to get to that. But before going there, I also mentioned on David Duke's show that last night, Professor Stephen F. Cohen, who, like Boehnert, is Jewish, although unlike Boehnert, is an American first and not a Jew first, where I think with Boehnert it's the other way around, that Professor Cohen mentioned that, you know, talking about meddling, Russian meddling, that really, who meddles in American politics more than Israel? Well, so I want to, actually, I promised the David Duke show listeners that I would play a couple of clips, and I want to do just that. I want you all to hear Professor Cohen's words. And I think Mr. T is ready with that clip. Are you ready, Mr. T?
But a more serious allegation, which takes me back many years, is that Russia meddled. I have to look up the dictionary meaning of the word meddle. But Russia meddled in our 2016 presidential election, right?
Yes.
And it is now said in a full-throated way that is shameful and dangerous, quote, that Russia attacked our democracy in 2006.
An act of war, said Dianne Feinstein of California.
Act of war. Yeah, and so did my congressman in my local neighborhood where I live in New York, Jerry Nadler. These are all, by the way, liberal Democrats.
And I'm going to add parenthetically that they are both Jews. OK, Okay, Professor Cohen, please continue.
Academic, that the United States, quote, meddled in foreign elections 81 times from 1946, that is the end of World War II, to 2000. I'm not sure why he stopped his study in the year 2000. But that did not include, John, meddling here. Dramatic interventions such as coup d'etats and regime change. And it went on to say that meddling meant planning fake stories in newspapers, in broadcast media, and that we were very skilled at this, and there was a very large budget. So one generalization could be, to put this Russiagate in perspective, even if Mueller's indictment is true, okay, and I think it's true.
I think that clip got a little bit messed up. Actually, what he did is he went on to say that nobody meddles in our elections more than Israel. And I think, Mr. T, something went wrong there. Let's try to get that back so we can hear exactly what he said. But, you know, it's really, really important, because even Tucker Carlson, who dismisses the notion that Russians meddled in our election, or doesn't completely dismiss it, but says, well, everybody in Washington knows that foreign countries are meddling all of the time. And what Russia did is, what Russia might have done is small potatoes compared to other countries. He mentions China. He mentions Saudi Arabia. And then he says others. Well, you know what he means when he says others. Let's see if we can catch up to where we were with that statement.
Well, being a person of Jewish origin, as we say, I've been mindful that Israel has meddled in our elections ever since I became eligible to vote. Many candidates seek the endorsement of the Israeli action groups here in the United States and of Israel itself. They pay homage by going to Israel. They think that that's an important part of their campaign. So Israel has always meddled big time. The protest has been rather low level. There's a study done. It was quoted in the New York Times, I think, this past Sunday by an academic, that the United States, quote, meddled in foreign elections 81 times from 1946, that is the end of World War II, to 2000. I'm not sure why he stopped his study in the year 2000. But that did not include, John, meddling here. Dramatic interventions such as coup d'etats and regime change. And it went on to say that meddling meant planning fake stories in newspapers, in broadcast media, and that we were very skilled at this, and there was a very large budget. So one generalization could be, to put this Russiagate in perspective, even if Mueller's indictment is true, and I think it's true only in the most menial sense, it has no significance, I think, but that all countries that think of themselves as powers, great or small, meddle in the elections of other countries, and always have. But that according to this study, which was done by an academic with no tie to the current Russiagate controversy, and I think before it even began, he concludes that we're number one in meddling in foreign elections.
Let's discuss that. Professor Stephen F. Cohen, New York University, Princeton University. What goes around comes around is the old proverb. We're going to discuss the American choosing leaders in foreign countries such as Russia once upon a time. I'm John Batchelor. This is the John Batchelor Show.
All right. Okay. So we're number one. We're number one. Yeah, I always knew we were number one. So it was very interesting. I wanted you to hear him say, and also preface that statement by acknowledging that he was of, how shall I say it, Jewish origin, and then say that no, you know, who he's very mindful of the fact that Israel meddles in our election in a big way. So I thought that was significant. He goes on to cite the study by some academics showing that from the end of World War II until 2000, until just before 9/11, so it's not even counting post 9/11, we had gone beyond election meddling, but had actually replaced governments through coup d'etats and whatnot 81 times. So that's huge. Now, of course, after 9/11, we have these massive examples of regime change in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in Libya, this attempt that so far hasn't succeeded in Syria, but has succeeded in ruining that country. So this is huge. Now, the next clip I'm going to play, and I won't stop in the middle because I see that it messes things up, but the next clip is where he's going to be describing American meddling in the 1996 election. Mr. T, are you ready?
Has the U.S. ever involved itself in Russian politics? Now, when would they do that? Because, after all, Russia was a dictatorship right up until the fall of the Soviet Union. Christmas 1991. Steve, let us remind everyone about the election of 1996 when the very troubled and poorly served Boris Yeltsin was up for re-election, facing, as I recall, the sizable competition of the remnant of the Communist Party. How did that go, Steve?
The most interesting case, isn't it? Now, we need a bridge here. Prior to that, the United States Congress had created three institutions to promote democracy abroad. One was the National Endowment for Democracy, which was a kind of bipartisan or nonpartisan institution. And then each, the Republican and the Democratic Party, got its own institute. One's called something like the Republican Institute for the Promotion of Democracy, the other the Democratic one. So this idea of democracy promotion was established in the 1990s. Now, stop and think. We accuse the Russians of meddling in elections around the world. And undoubtedly they do. But democracy promotion is an official American program funded for the purpose of meddling in elections around the world. When interviewed by the New York Times last Sunday, I think, on this issue, the former head of the Russia desk of the CIA, and when I listened to him talk, I wonder if we were safe when he was head of the Russia desk, because he doesn't seem well informed about Russia at all. They justify what we do, which outwardly seems to be exactly the same thing as we're accusing the Russians of doing, on the grounds that we do it for good reasons and Russia does it for bad reasons. That is, we do it to promote democracy, Russia does it to promote authoritarianism. Well, even if that were true, we'd fall back on the adage our mamas taught us, two wrongs don't make a right, and have to explore that. Empirically, it's not clear to me that all our interventions have been on behalf of democracy, which then brings us to the case you raise of what happened in Russia in 1996. And that's why at the top of our discussion, John, I asked about generations. So 1996 is about 20 years ago, right?
Right.
All right. And a political generation, let's say, for the sake of discussion, is 20 years. So how many Americans today, and you would have to be of age to have, you know, followed that episode, how many Americans today remember what we did in Russia in 1996? My guess is most people under 40 or under 35 do not. Boris Yeltsin, who was the first post-Soviet president when the Soviet Union ended and Gorbachev departed, Yeltsin was elected president, and he was embraced very firmly and fulsomely by the Clinton administration. Russia was in despair. The Clinton administration provided tens of billions of dollars of loans through the International Monetary Fund.
Let me do quickly, Steve. He had been president of Russia under the federation that was constructed
and,
as
was still the Soviet Union.
Right, it was the Soviet Union, but he then wins the election in 92 and is promoted.
No. He was elected in June 1991. when it was still the Soviet Union. But when the Russian Federation of the Soviet Union became a separate country, he was the president, but he had to stand for re-election in 1996. You with me so far?
Yes.
So that's how it happened. All right. He was in very bad shape politically and physically. He'd had bypass surgery. He was known to drink heavily. It had been observed on his visits to the United States. The polls showed him at about 4 or 5% with no chance to win. And Washington was in a panic because the main challenger was the new Communist Party of the Russian Federation, which by then had become a kind of social democratic party. It wasn't going to carry out a revolution, but there were many candidates. So what happened was, is the Clinton administration shopped around for people like Paul Manafort, people you can hire to come to your country and help you win elections. There are dozens, if not scores, of these so-called electoral experts, lobbyists for hire in Washington. They settled on a firm, and they went and they set up, and I was in Moscow in 1996 when the campaign began, so it was quite visible to me. They set up shop in what was called the Presidential Hotel, big, luxurious hotel owned by the Kremlin, and they had suites and suites of office. Now, there's some dispute. The Yeltsin people later claimed that the Americans did not take full control of the campaign. But all the anecdotal evidence suggests that they did. Moreover, Yeltsin hadn't paid pensions in Russia in about 3 years. Old people were dying. They weren't getting their pensions. State employees were not being paid their wages. This was been the end of any electoral candidate. Clinton arranged for, I think it was, I may have the number wrong, a emergency $4 billion loan to Yeltsin through the International Monetary Fund. So the Clinton administration went all out. And I know personally, from what I was told at least, that there were at least two third-party candidates that would have taken votes from Yeltsin. And they were told by the Americans, if you don't get out of the race, you have no future at all, certainly not with us. And one dropped out, one stayed in. And so it's you have to get 51% of the vote in the first round to make it to the second. Yeltsin, neither Yeltsin nor the communist leader, Zhuganov, got it. So there was a second round, and Yeltsin won. All right. So the first thing to be said is we were very proud of that, the United States. So proud that Time magazine, shortly after the election in 1996, put it on the cover of its magazine with the title something like, Yanks to the Rescue, How Washington Saved Yeltsin. So this was massive meddling, John.
Steve, I want you to recall one anecdote. Medvedev, who was in the apparatus that was supporting Yeltsin at the time and subsequently became prime minister and president of Russia, I believe has recalled that clearly. Yes. As a direct intervention by the United States, otherwise we would have lost.
Well, no, you've got half of it right. It's more shocking than that. And what a memory you've got, because I think we did discuss this ages ago. Dmitry Medvedev, who's now the prime minister of Russia, who was president of Russia when Putin had to step aside for a term, and then Medvedev returned to the prime ministership.
Okay.
When he was president.
We are coming up on the break. We'll be back with more National Bugle Radio and more from our callers.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Welcome back. So, this is National Bugle Radio. It is not the John Batchelor Show, but I was playing a couple of clips from the John Batchelor Show with Stephen F. Cohen first saying how it is Israel that meddles big time in our democracy and not Russia. And then he went on to talk about a report showing American meddling in other countries. And then finally, John Batchelor asked him about American meddling in the 1996 Russia election that saved Boris Yeltsin. I just want to play a couple more minutes where he is going to raise a couple of pieces of evidence of this, independent sources, including former Russian president and current prime minister Medvedev, who talks about how decisive the American action was. And then also where, if you're interested and you want to see a Hollywood dramatization, where you can go for that. So, Mr. D, are you ready?
Dmitry Medvedev, who's now the Prime Minister of Russia, who was President of Russia when Putin had to step aside for a term, and then Medvedev returned to the Prime Ministership. When he was President, he met with a group of five politicians about something from other parties. One of them, a longtime friend of mine. And somehow the conversation, this was maybe 8-9 years later, turned to Yeltsin's election, re-election. And Medvedev said, to the shock of these five Russian politicians in the room, of course, Yeltsin didn't actually win. He lost. So what this meant was, assuming Medvedev was telling the truth, and Medvedev is in office because Yeltsin put Putin in office and Medvedev came with Putin, so Medvedev had no reason to denigrate Yeltsin. This means if Medvedev told the truth, that the United States spent billions of dollars to help Yeltsin win an election, which in the end he actually lost, and they simply rigged the vote count. Now, I didn't believe that story entirely when I was told, but later it was printed in at least two Western news counts. I don't remember which two, maybe Newsweek one, and one in France. So the story had gotten out of Medvedev's office, and there was never a denial. So what we have here, and that interests me somewhat less tonight than anybody younger than myself and possibly you who finds this unbelievable, can do something very simple. And forgive me for advertising for media. They can go to HBO on demand under film. HBO made a film about this American campaign to keep Yeltsin in the Russian presidency. And I think it's called either Saving Boris or Spinning Boris. I don't remember the
It's Spinning the Boris.
You can watch the film. It's a feature film with well-known American actors. Or they can simply go to Time Magazine, the first or second issue after the June election, 1996, and they will see an issue with a cover, Yanks to the Rescue. So what moral we want to draw from this, I'm not sure. But to accuse the Russians of meddling in the 2016 election, whether to create chaos or help Trump, they change their story every day. Sometimes some even say it put Trump in the White House. Others say, no, it was just to confuse us. It was nothing. Compared to what we did in Russia in 1996 and have continued to do in Russian elections.
Okay, thank you, Mr. T. Thank you. All right. Well, that was interesting, wasn't it? I thought so. So we've got Professor Cohen saying that the Israelis are the ones who meddle in our election big time, that America, since World War II, has overthrown, between World War II and 9/11, overthrew over 80 governments, one way or another, and that we were instrumental in rigging the 1996 elections in favor of our guy, Boris. Now, what he won't go on and say, although if you listen to him enough, you actually realize he understands it and sometimes lets it loose, but that Boris Yeltsin, under Boris Yeltsin, the country was plundered, that he allowed Jewish-American advisors to hook up Jewish international financiers with well-connected Jews inside Russia to transfer, in a big hurry, transfer state assets to these well-connected Jews in Russia who became the oligarchs. And that, of course, then when Putin came over, supposedly to protect the oligarchs, because Putin was put in power by Yeltsin, supposedly to protect the position of the oligarchs, he wound up turning against them to a large extent, chased some out of the country, put some in jail, and has an uneasy truce with the rest, whereby they get to keep their ill-gotten gains, because they, while ill-gotten, they were legally gotten under the legal system, but they are not to interfere with his position. Okay, we are about to come up on the next break. I'll take callers. 1-800-313-9443. 1-800-313-9443.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to aroutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back to the show. That is the music of Philbert Applebag, who is my co-host on the Friday financial shows, by the way. So Professor Cohen, I think he's very interesting. I would love to invite him on the show. I don't know if he might just take up the offer if I extended it, but here's the thing. He's so useful doing what he's currently doing, and I don't know if it would do him any good to appear on the show. But if I can't get Professor Cohen on the show, I'll do the next best thing, and that is William from Montana. William, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Patrick.
Good afternoon, William. What's on your mind?
Well, I mean, this last little, you know, I appreciate, you know, Professor Cohen's analysis of this period. At least he's mentioning a very pivotal period in recent Russian history. To go back to this, definition of metal, it's to involve oneself in a matter without right or invitation, and a fear to interfere officially. And uninvited, interference with some outcome. And I take a slightly different analysis of this period. When he mentioned Paul Manafort, as sort of like this kingmaker that's for hire, and what a pivotal, part he played in Yeltsin's re-election.
He said people like Manafort. I don't think
he didn't mention. Oh, I thought he said specific. I think I've actually read something where he said that some of his friends there actually said that this guy showed up on the scene.
I, okay, I, 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 I,
Maybe that's true. Maybe that's true.
Okay.
What he said here was people like Paul Manafort, which doesn't mean that it was, but it doesn't mean that it wasn't.
But it also shows, you know, when he says that, you know, Clinton stepped up, and he wanted to support Yeltsin in his reelection, and he was also, what isn't said there was that Clinton's activity was really also to ensure the maintenance of the oligarchs, supporters of Yeltsin, which you and I both know were predominantly Jewish. And they were, you know, while this was all happening, one of the reasons why the Russians on the street were starving was that this group of people had seized the opportunity and were basically gutting and bankrupting Russia. And they were also controlling all of the, you know, infrastructure of Russia, not only banking, but mining, but also, very importantly, TV and media. You know, they completely took over. And they wanted, you know, when it said that Clinton was supporting Yeltsin's reelection, it was very much that they were actually supporting this oligarch group that really were supporting Yeltsin. And, you know, I read something just recently by Thomas Graham. He was
Only going to interrupt you to say that I think that's really, really important.
Yes, very important. And Thomas Graham, who was the chief political analyst at the U.S.-Russian embassy in Moscow at the time, he said this was a classic case of the ends justifying the means. We did get the result, but we did get the result that we wanted. And there's been a lot said about this, especially in the Russian press and Russian historians. They said, what exactly was that result? You know, it was mentioned by Professor Cohen that, you know, Yeltsin hadn't paid pensions for 3 years. You know, the Russian government was bankrupt. And Clinton came to the rescue, and as Thomas Graham, you know, said, he came to the rescue by getting $4 billion in IMF loans freed up. But this is often portrayed, you know, in the literature as the U.S.'s desire to help the starving Russians on the street. You know, but what really was this? This was the best method of indebting Russia to the IMF, imposing sanctions on the Russian government to make sure that the money was used in the best possible way, and it wasn't it for the interest of the man on the street in Russia. And this was another method. And one of the biggest parts of this result that Graham referred to was that they really wanted, there were many forces in D.C. and in London and other places that really wanted this oligarch, you know, behind the scenes pulling Yeltsin's strings to be completely embedded and supported, because this was the way that you totally took over this country and made sure that it never stood on its feet. It would always be indebted to the West. And I think if you really look into the background of this, you'll really understand where Putin came and why Putin was able to later garner a lot of support from the Russian people, because he actually made many direct statements about this process of putting Yeltsin in for a second time. You know, Putin was actually, in a sense, chosen by Yeltsin, although that you can go much deeper into that process.
Mm-hmm.
And he realized, I really believe sincerely, he realized that this would be the death throes of the new Russia if there wasn't some type of severing of this, control by these Jewish, predominantly Jewish oligarchs, and basically wrestling control back from them and giving it to the Russian people. He saw this. You know, there was many examples of this in the years preceding of how this IMF, process of indebtedness really took control away from the actual political process in various countries.
Yeah, and in the 1990s, under Yeltsin, Russia just started to appear more and more as a colony of, you know, to say the West isn't necessarily fair, but of international
of the bankers,
finance, of the bankers, of the Zionists, I mentioned at the beginning of the show I was might talk about Peter Baynard's article. That'll probably have to wait till tomorrow. But I also said I think basically, Cohen is probably an American first and a Jew second. Probably Baynard's the other way around. I don't know. I don't know what's in their mind. I said that before I introduced you, I have actually thought about inviting Professor Cohen onto this show. I don't want to say whether or not I've talked to him in the past because any relationship he would have with me would be detrimental to him. And, you know, and the thing is, he is not emphasizing what you just emphasized, you know, the Jewish oligarchy that was
right
behind so much of this. He doesn't emphasize it. He does from time to time acknowledge it just enough so that somebody like David Duke, when he's writing The Secret Behind Communism, can cite pages in Stephen F. Cohen books, which he did. But he doesn't emphasize it. Our job is to put forth the narrative that is as close to reality as we can get it. That's what we're trying to do, without regard for is this going to deprive us of future access to WABC radio or such and such magazine. So that's what we're trying to do. You said, I have another caller I want to get to, but I think Mr. T is out chasing squirrels, so I can't get to him just yet. But you mentioned something about the appointment process of Putin, and of course Putin was appointed in, I believe it was 1999, as prime minister under President Yeltsin, and this is after Yeltsin had gone through a whole slew of prime ministers, some Jewish, some not Jewish. And I don't know a whole lot about the selection process, but one thing is, by 1999, Yeltsin was pretty deeply in an alcoholic spiral, wasn't he? Who was really calling?
He was basically, and that's why he was, you know, a great leader to be put up in the front of people, you know, by this oligarch. You know, one of the reasons why Clinton and the American interfered directly, meddled directly with this election, was Gennady Zhukanov was when Yeltsin said that he was going to run for re-election, a very prominent Communist Party challenger was actually in the lead. And this was in the lead of crooked, polls that were being taken by a media controlled by, one of these very prominent Jewish oligarchs. And so they needed to make sure, they knew that they couldn't turn this guy. And they knew that the people, many of the people in Russia say that things have gotten so bad, they weren't the greatest under, communism, but you know, it was much better than it is now.
Yeah.
So there was a real big push for these communists to step back in.
I want to interject. The joke was that Yeltsin has done in 4 years what the Bolsheviks or the communists could not do in 70 years, and that is make communism look good.
Right. I've heard that before, yes.
And is that in 1996, this Gennady Zhukanov, the leader of the Russian Communist Party, had made a comment something like, if Jews want to stay in Russia, they have to be loyal to Russia.
You know, Cohen has a very good article, which I would recommend people looking up, on Putin. And he did this, I don't have it right in front of me, but he wrote a very good article about who Putin was, the truth behind, you know, where he came from, and what his actual accomplishments have been. And I think Professor Cohen takes a very positive look at Putin, and he brings up many details of that very interesting way of how Putin got his foot in the door and how he stood up to these Russian Jewish oligarchs, or I don't even call them Russian, they were Jewish oligarchs, and how that started a process of Russia freeing itself from what would have been an absolute crippling debt. And I would recommend that you look at that article.
If you could send me the source.
I'll send you the source. I have it on my screen right, or I have notes from it on my screen right now. I'll send you an email with that source. That's a very excellent way.
I'd love to do a whole show where we're focusing on that. So if you're able to set up the time, I'd love to have you on. But now I have a couple more callers I need to get to.
Take it easy, Patrick. Bye-bye.
Hey, thank you so much for calling, William. Okay, and next we have Mark from Philadelphia. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hello, Patrick. Yes, I would acknowledge what I was going to say is I would like to know more about Putin myself. Is he, and you don't have to answer right now, but having another show with your previous caller as a guest would be great to go into that. Because personally, look, this is the high level we're talking about here. And the information you share with us, none of it is really personally actionable by me, I don't think. But I would like to know if Putin knows who the real enemy is, and if he's a true stalwart against World War III happening over in Syria and Iran and all that, and also the other side over in Korea and all that, if he has any influence with that. So, because he seems like he's, out of all the leaders, he's pretty level-headed and says what he says. So, I don't know. But I want to ask you something else, a little bit off subject.
Mm-hmm.
On this kosher certification thing, I was aware that there was some of these sort of kosher certification marks, but I didn't know there were that many. My gosh! So my question here is that strictly a way for the rabbis and the Jews to make money off of the goy, the rest of us, strictly for making money, or is it that some of these certifications actually are like a sign to them that this food or these foods are safe to eat and don't have all the gunk in it? Can you reveal anything about that?
Well, I'm not the expert on that, but a lot of the foods with the main symbol is the U in the circle. I think that's the Union of Orthodox Rabbis or something. There's a K in a triangle. There are a bunch of other symbols. As far as the U in a circle, I've seen all sorts of junk food that I think is bad for your health. It's got the U in the circle. So it's just a matter of A, meeting kosher requirements, and then B, it is a money-making proposition for these groups.
But it sounds like to me, from what I've heard before, is that the kosher, I mean, you think they'd really scrutinize this kosher requirement, but if they stamp it with kosher, if it's just a ploy for them to take our money, you know, add extra money onto the deal, then, I mean, if you're saying that they put the kosher certification on junk food, I mean, obviously junk food isn't good for the human body, right? I mean, really. So I don't know. I'd just like you to ask you that. Maybe if you don't know, maybe you could check that out and see what, give us more intel on that, because that would be, I don't know. It's just, but I mean, my God, how many of these certifications are there? So they're skimming money off of us in a lot of ways. A lot of people don't know that. They have no idea. So I appreciate you putting that in your ad that let us know, because it's informed me tremendously. So anyway, I just thought, just a little side note there on that subject. But again, back to the deal about Putin. I would like to know.
And we just have a few more seconds.
Okay, I'll let you go. Well, thank you, Patrick. That's all. I encourage you to dig into Putin and who he is more. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Please call again. Okay, and we are about to come up on our next break, and we'll be back after the break with more from our callers and National People Radio.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome back to the show. Back. So, let's go to our last caller. That's Keith from Los Angeles. Keith, welcome to the show.
Hello, Doctor. I often hear you and Dr. Duke talk about Jews as a race. And, you know, it's really puzzling to me how two doctors can pass over such a simple subject. You know, we have black Jews, we have all kinds of different kinds of Jews, but yet you use it as the same format as white people do, like whites are a race and Jews are a race, without even blinking an eye. I just want to ask you, where did this Jewish race begin?
Okay, well, first of all, I actually usually talk about them as a tribe. Now, there is a genetic basis to the tribe. Of course, you do have people like, you know, Sammy Davis Jr., who was black, who converted. You have Ethiopian Jews who were likely converts, not descended from the Jews of the Hebrew Bible. You have around, is it Zimbabwe or the corner of South Africa, where you have some black Jews whose, upon examination, their Y chromosomes, a good deal of the Y chromosomes are similar to the Y chromosomes seen in other Jews, including the chromosome that the Cohens have. They have that Cohen. They're the priestly class of this, the South African Jews, Southern African Jews.
Have you ever checked this DNA yourself? Have you ever checked this DNA yourself?
No, but I am following the top geneticists.
So people, whatever you read is true. That's what you got out of college, right? No, that's why you're a doctor, because whatever you read is true.
No. And I was very dubious of a lot of it at first, and it took years until I got up to the speed where I feel comfortable with it, but with the caveat that, a lot of knowledge could change, that we're early on in genetic analysis, and B, it's possible that some of the geneticists or scientists have an agenda whereby the information really couldn't be trusted. So I'm not 100% sure of these things. I'm just doing the best I can.
You and David Duke are discussing DNA for Jews being allowed back into their country by DNA. Now, if you can't prove DNA, why do you push this lie?
Well, No. I mean, what you'll hear David Duke say repeatedly, he'll quote Jared Diamond, I believe, as saying, it's great that there is these DNA tests now that can be used to see who's Jewish and who's not Jewish.
And you know what? Maybe you should get a DNA test from the person doing the DNA testing first.
Maybe we should.
Otherwise, it's not provable science, and you know it isn't, and why you have taken a stance to go along with this is really misleading to all your listeners. I mean, it's just a total sham. Now, I have another question.
Well, Keith, we've run out of time. I appreciate your call, and, I tend to talk about it as a tribe, because tribe isn't exactly the same as being a race or even an ethnicity. There's membership in a tribe, but it is largely based on birth. And when you're talking about birth, you're exchanging DNA from parent to child. So there's certainly an element of that. But thank you for your call. I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.